In Acts chapter 3, and beginning with verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in to the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Peter and John, I want to come back down to verse 6. That as they were going into the temple at the hour of prayer, seeing the man there that was lame and had been all of his life, and this man, as was his practice any time anybody went in the temple, looked at them and asked an alms. And the words of Peter, and Peter's one of my heroes. Got many heroes in the Word of God. But Peter, if he had been born down in our time, he'd have been born in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, on the wrong side of the tracks. But he's right on target now, because he's been to the upper room. And it's not the Peter that made the mistakes and spoke out of turn and did everything wrong before. Lied. I had somebody tell me one time, and I've heard this several times, said, Peter was the first pope. And our reply always is, if Peter was the first pope backslid. Amen. Because the liar's going to have his part in the lake of fire. And he didn't lie just once. He didn't lie just twice. He was a liar. Can you say amen? I had a man get mad at me one time down in Texas. And got the Oklahoma Bulls for the whole rest of the service. Because I said something about Peter had backslid. And he thought that I was being sacrilegious. And he was deeply offended at the truth. But this is not the same Peter anymore. This is a man that had been up in the upper room, hallelujah, when the Holy Ghost fell, as was preached to this morning, the tongues of fire and the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and Peter is a different man now. And he's going into the temple with John, and this man asks him for help, and Peter said to him, said, look on us. And then in verse 6, he says, silver and gold have we none, in 5, but such as we have, give I thee. In the name, verse 6, and this is what I want to get, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. In the name. These are tremendous words. Listen, I know that the oneness want to run around and saying, as it taking Luke chapter 24 and verse 47 out of context, when it said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached unto all the world in the name of Jesus, beginning in Jerusalem and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. Repentance, amen, and remission. And remission of sin simply means forgiveness. Hallelujah. That repentance and forgiveness should be preached into all the world in the name of Jesus. Get over into Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, and it said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Hallelujah. And now here is Peter walking in saying, "We don't have any silver and we don't have any gold, but such as we have, we're going to give to you in the name, not with the name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Amen. I want you to know tonight, there's a tremendous difference, an eternal difference between in the name of Jesus and with the name of Jesus. Amen. We were talking to a Palestinian Arab. Well, we were doing, it was at a pretty high decibel level when we were talking, Brother Allen, Brother Scott, and myself, talking to four Palestinian Arabs. Amen. And one of them got so upset. Amen. And he wanted us to know that he was Christian because his daddy and his granddaddy had been altar boys in the Greek Orthodox Church. Amen. And you know what that's worth with God? Amen. It doesn't matter if that had really been Pentecost instead of some kind of nonsense. Amen. And you still can't ride on daddy's coattails. Amen. You gotta find your own altar. You gotta seek God yourself. And it doesn't matter what mom and dad did. You gotta get saved and get your own name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, amen, we have Sceva. There were seven sons of Sceva, the high priest. Amen. This wasn't just a preacher. This was camp meeting preacher. Amen. The Sceva, the high priest. Amen. And they heard about a man down there that was possessed with demons. Amen. And so here they went. And I've got a picture of them, of those seven sons, whose daddy was raised in holiness. Amen. Was raised in Pentecost. Amen. And I just got a picture of them pulling up to the curb in their Lincoln Continental Mark 7s. Amen. Getting out in their Hagar suits and slacks, whatever they are, their arrow shirts, their silk ties, their alligator shoes, and their $40 haircuts. Amen. Walking in, had the embossed card in their back pocket that said, "I am an ordained minister of the such and such church." Amen. An organization. And they walked in and there was that man that was full of demons. And they walked up to him and get this. They said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." That's a pretty heavy introduction. That ought to scare any devil. And then they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Come out." Amen. And that man, that demon, looked back at him. Amen. And said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" Amen. And fell upon the seventh son of Sceva the high priest and tore all of the uptown J.C. Penney surplus suits off of him. Amen. And the alligator shoes and the silk stockings and silk ties. Amen. And threw them out in the middle of the road out in front of the house. I want to tell you something tonight. It's not enough. Anybody can go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody can say in the name of Jesus. But there's a difference, amen, in going with the name of Jesus and going in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about any kind of oneness baptism. Amen. So many people like to grab things out of context. Amen. There's only one command in all of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28, amen, that said, the formula, I said, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God spoke down from heaven, amen, at the River Jordan as a dove of the Holy Ghost descended down and rested upon the Son of Almighty God. I don't know what the oneness does with that, but I'm not here tonight, amen, to preach to you about oneness. I'm here, amen, to preach to you, amen, that we're to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. With the power and the authority. Amen. With the truth and the glory of being in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Joshua, amen, he and Caleb were down. They had just gone through the 40 years with all of the others, amen, in the wilderness. They were getting ready to go. Moses was gone. God had took him up and showed him the promised land, and God buried him, and nobody else knew where he was. Amen. But Joshua was now the captain. Amen. He was now the leader of all of those. As a matter of fact, he and Caleb, if my math serves me right, we're the only ones in those multitude of Israelites. Amen. That was over 60 years of age. Amen. Or, yes, over 60 years of age. Hallelujah. And so Joshua's getting ready. The last promised land is on the other side of Jordan. There's Jericho. On the other side of Jericho, amen, is all that God's going to give them as far as their eye can see, where their toe, where their foot trod. It's a land of milk and honey, and it is theirs, amen, to go in and to possess the land. Listen, we're not hangdog. Get back in the corner. Have to take back up to the forces of hell. Amen. You're a blood-bought, blood-washed child of the King. Hallelujah. And you've got authority with us. We are nothing to come against the devil, just as we are. But greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And Joshua's getting ready. He's going in. They're making preparation. They're going to go through the River Jordan. And I don't know. Amen. He may have been like I used to always be. When they get to that part of the song that I loved, they said, living by faith, and I feel no alarm. And for years, I wouldn't sing that part. Hey, man, I'd just be quiet when it got to living by faith. And then I'd stop singing, feel no alarm. And then I'd pick right back up and go back on. Hey, man, because I know that if you're saved, hey, man, you're living by faith. If you're walking every day, you don't walk a day, hey, man, in salvation, hey, man, that you're not walking by faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And so I know that he must have been a little bit excited walking by faith. And he was probably feeling some alarm. Amen. And he sees somebody. Amen. And he doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know what's going on. And he said, hey, who are you? Are you on our side? Or are you on their side? And the Bible tells us that that was a captain of the host of the Lord's army. That was Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah! I loved what the pastor said this morning. You have any dealing, not in these exact words, but you have any dealing with God, you got dealing with the Holy Ghost, you got dealings with the Son of God, hallelujah. You don't just go up and divide and split the Trinity, hallelujah. Sound like I'm a real Trinitarian, I did. Amen. But you don't just, you're dealing with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ, the host of the Lord's army, was there. And you know what? When old Joshua hollered across, hey man, Brother Foster, you know what? What happened when Joshua said, are you on our side or are you on their side? And using the Oklahoma vernacular, hey man, Jesus said, boy, it's not whose side I'm on. Whose side are you on? Hallelujah. Whose side are you on? Hey man, I'd like to declare tonight, God didn't come and join. Jesus didn't come and join. Hey man, the little Sumner, a missionary evangelistic party. Hey man, we joined God. Hallelujah. When I got saved down an old fashioned altar of repentance, hey man, Jesus Christ didn't begin a walk with Jake Sumner. I began a walk with him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not whose side we're on. Hey man, that he's on. It's whose side we're on. Amen. Sometimes we get to thinking we're it. We're not. He is. Hallelujah. And when we get that down in our heart and in our soul, that without Him we're nothing, but with Him we're everything. Hallelujah. Then we can go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's our message. That's what we have attempted through the 14 years that we've been in Honduras, and the 21 years before that we traveled in motorhomes and travel trailers throughout a good part of Central America and a whole bunch of the United States. Hey man, we're taking Jesus Christ wherever we got the opportunity. Hey man, to a lost and a dying world. Hey man, I want to tell you, some people, I heard somebody say down in Texas, they come up, I got there with parked beside a church in South Texas, and I don't know who he was, but it wasn't very long before I found out he wasn't on the same team we were on. Amen. And I was working around there, and this guy come up, and I don't remember just what he says, but you can tell by, you don't even have to wait to sense the Spirit. Sometimes you can tell by the vocabulary. Do you ever have anybody come up and say blessings? Amen. In Spanish, he said, they'll say, bendiciones, blessings. Amen. And I like to say, well, blessing from who? From the devil? From God? From you? Who? What's the matter with God bless you? Whatever happened to the Lord bless you? Amen. I don't want somebody to come up and bestow blessings on me. Who are they? Amen. I want somebody to come up and say, God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. And this man was up, and he'd said something. Amen. And then he told me, he said, I wanted to know, were we there? And he said, yes, we're in a few days revival here. And he said, I'm not exactly quoting this, but he told me, he said, well, he was a minister too. Oh, is that right? And he said, yes. He said, my ministry, he said, I'm staying down to the house down here, down the street. And there's a woman there that her husband is in prison. And he said, God gave me a ministry to go help women whose husbands are incarcerated. And I thought, God didn't send you anywhere. There's no such ministry. The ministry is to go into all the world and preach the gospel of repentance and forgiveness. And He sure didn't send him for some of these wild, harebrained ideas of ministries that God never saw, never had any part of, and never will have any part of. Hallelujah. God calls us to go and to do a work, and we'll be faithful to that work. Sometimes you'll have some downs. Amen. Sometimes you may make some mistakes. Sometimes you may not show all the wisdom that you ought to show. Amen. In a certain situation. But I've said, amen, and believed with all my heart for years and years, mister, it's a long haul that counts. You may fall on your face one day, but get back up. Get a hold of God. Amen. There's no excuse for falling. Amen. There's no excuse for failing God. There's no excuse for missing the voice of God. But if you do, get back up. Pray back to God. I missed your voice. I made a wrong turn. Forgive me. I don't want to do that again. I'm going on. Hallelujah. And you keep on going. And you keep on going. Walking by faith, I feel no alarm. And then God spoke to me in plain old terms of what faith was. Amen. Faith is not some flash that comes out of the skies. Faith is not some rumbling of voices or a heavenly choir or a fire that blows up in within you. Amen. Faith is that no matter when the temptation, when the problem, when the trial, when the heartache comes and your mind says there's no way out, and your heart says I can't make it, and your experience says what are you going to do now, and there's nobody to lift your hands up, amen, while they're battling against the Amalekite, amen, and you don't know what you're going to do, but still you put one foot out in front of the other and another one out in front of the other. You know what that is? That's faith. Whether you can define it or not, whether you recognize it or not at the time, you keep on going. You keep on holding on. Hallelujah. Lord, every fiery dart hitting me, every pain's coming against me, but Lord, I'm going to hold on. I can't understand it. Don't feel like I got the victory. Doesn't matter. Does the victory have you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you keep right on walking. You keep right on going. Hallelujah. Until you make it all the way through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God helped us a lot. We've had some times without Brother Allen, Sister Paula, and the girls there. But God's kept us putting one foot in front of the other one and taking another step and another step and another step and another step. Hallelujah. Look back at all that God's done. Amen. Started in, and I've told probably most of you in here, of when our first year there, being in the refugee camps. First year, at the end of the first year, being in the Contra Guerrilla camp, preaching to them, crawling the foxholes and all that nonsense, handing out tracts and everything else. Cardboard record players. And then finally the wars were over, the refugees were gone. And God spoke to hearts and said, go and preach to the military, the Honduranian military. Nobody had ever done that. We'd never heard of all of our travels in all of Central America and Mexico, the Latin country. We'd never heard anybody penetrating the military. And who were we? just six Sumners, amen. It wasn't even the little girls then. Amen. And so we said, all right. There was a place that soldiers had a barricade, and they had a log place that there was their place where they slept. And there was about 20, 21, 22 of them in there. And we come through the log barrier one time, and they, where are you going? Because the only thing beyond that was jungle trail. Amen. A rut road going up. And at the end of that was the Contra Guerrilla camp. And we said, we're going to preach to the Contras. And that lieutenant standing out there with his soldiers, all of them, amen, with those M16s or whatever it was, kind of rifles they had. And he said, how come you don't preach to the Honduranian soldiers? And we said, all right, we will. Amen. And we didn't do it right at that moment, but when we come back out. And when we got back up and we rolled up, we told them, I can't quote exactly or what exactly we said, but we told them we'd come to preach to them. Amen. And that lieutenant called everybody, one guy off that big old pole barrier out there hanging across that rut in the middle of the jungle. Amen. And had everybody else come over there and got them down in that bunkhouse that was half buried under the ground. And you talk about smelling like a goat pen. That thing was ripe. Amen. Amen. And I still remember who preached to him. Brother Allen preached. Amen. That day. And he was preaching. After a little while, I just had to take a little break. Amen. And get my head out that door. Amen. Where I could smell something beside goat hair. Amen. And old Brother Scott and I, we kind of bailed. And Allen was really preaching to him. Amen. Those guys sitting around there on those old log bunks. Amen. And these soldiers, all of them in uniform, in their camouflage and everything else. Amen. And Allen was preaching to him. And Scott and I, we kind of sneaked out the door. Amen. And we're standing out there gulping some fresh air. And we heard them begin to pray. And we said, oh, let's get back in. Amen. They're getting saved. Amen. We dug back in and they're praying. Hallelujah. And some of them was praying their way through. Amen. To a genuine old-fashioned salvation. Listen, God. Amen. Will reach down anywhere. Out of that. Amen. We got into the military. First place we got kicked off. Amen. They didn't want us in there. They didn't want any evangelicals. Amen. And so we went to another place. And the net result was they invited us to come back in a week and talk to them. All we asked them for is the whole one service, just to get our foot in the door. Amen. And they told us at that second base, they said, no, we don't want you to come and hold one service. We want to know if you'll come every week and begin to preach. And we said, yes, sir, we'll do it. Amen. Brother Kevin Prysock was standing there when we did it. Amen. And we said, yes, sir, we'll do it. And we started there, and that was 13 years ago. Hallelujah. And we've been on that base ever since. Amen. We went into the mess hall. They marched them in by the companies, mandatory. Amen. They didn't have any choice. I'd love to see that in Kansas City. Amen. To where they go down the road and sound a bugle. Amen. And march them outside the door and say, all right, we're falling in to go to church. Amen. Somebody said that doesn't sound like a very good thing when they got to go to church. Amen. Sound all right to me. Amen. Sound all right to me. Hallelujah. And so we'd have them as high as, well, we'd have around 500 people in the mess, all 400, 500. Amen. And we'd preach. It wasn't very long. The second base wanted us, and then another base wanted us, and then another. And then the one that had kicked us off, The commander sent messenger in to tell, would we come out and talk to him? First, he came personally to the door, and we weren't there. And if I recall right, he came twice and missed us both times. The commander of that military base, hey man, wanted to see us. And so the ladies told him, said, or whoever was there, told him we weren't there. And so he came back later and sent the soldiers back in a jeep, an officer with some soldiers with him, come up and said, the colonel wanted to know, would we come out and begin holding services on his base? Amen. We said, yes, sir. Tell him we'll be out there. Amen. And we're still there. Amen. Every Tuesday. No, every other Tuesday now. We went for years and years, and we're still going. I don't know how many people God has touched and saved through those efforts. Hallelujah. But mister, he's done it. Hallelujah. And now, amen, we've been in a base that we're in. We're part of the orders of the day. Amen. It's not a thing of coming in on Saturdays and saying, oh, can we find a little slot here or a little place there after the Catholic priest is done? Amen. But we're part of the orders of the day. Some of the bases that we go on to, they take them right out of formation. Amen. And we're sitting there in the bleachers. We're all set up and ready. And they release them out of formation to come, amen, and be in the service. And when the service is over, they go right back into formation. Hallelujah. And God is moving. Hallelujah. I'd have something count, but we're in a lot of military bases right now. We could be in a whole lot more, but we got some people that's taking vacations to Hawaii and different places. Amen. But even if Brother Allen and Sister Paula was back down, we could not, and money was no object, we could not go through the doors, amen, that have seemingly opened up. Amen. Not only are we in the military, and every military installation, and some of them I don't even know it, the door is open. We just can't go through them all. Amen. And it's begin to, we're in the military, we're in the national police now. Amen. Amen. We've got detectives. We've got inspectors. We've got the anti-terrorist troops, and we've got the training academy. We'll have maybe 400 soldiers in that one place alone. Amen. Policemen. Amen. And God is blessing. Hallelujah. Somebody says, why are you going down there and preaching, amen, to a whole bunch of soldiers and a whole bunch of police? Number one, God said to do it. And that's really all the reason you got. But I'm going to give you another reason too. Amen. That the guys that have got the guns have got a lot of control over things. You get them saved, amen, and they got a lot of influence over others. Hallelujah. We have a song that we teach them. I taught it some of you. Brother Foster and Brother Gus will remember this. Some of you people will hear. We have sang it years past. A song that we teach in English. Amen. In Spanish. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah. Yo ando con el Rey. Ando con el Rey. Ando con el Rey. Hallelujah. Yo ando con el Rey. Cada día, every day. Yo ando con el Rey. I'm walking with the King. Amen. Well, we teach them. I mean, we have taught, no exaggeration, thousands of soldiers and multitudes of policemen this song in English. And you don't know where you'll be. You may be walking into a bank miles removed. You may go into a gas station where there's some guy pumping your gas. You may go anywhere in the country and you'll hear somebody start singing. He may have an AK-47 and a sawed-off shotgun and a pistol and a guard uniform there at a bank or something. And you'll hear, or pumping that gas, like I said, and you'll hear somebody, and they'll start singing, "Hallelujah, I'm walkie, walkie king, walkie, walkie king, walkie, walkie king." Hallelujah. If they remember that, surely they remember the Jesus that we preach. Hallelujah. Well, I want to rush on because I want to tell you some more things. Amen. Before my 10 minutes are up. Hallelujah. The church. God's blessing the church. Amen. Actually, I was trying to think a short while back of how the church actually started. I think it was kind of a toss-up, but I believe it started when all the little kids was coming into the living room, neighborhood kids, and was teaching. I can't remember. And then it might have died down a little bit, and then when we had the Bible school, having a place for the Bible school students to come and worship. But I think it was the kids that started it. Hallelujah. Alan was pastor. And so anyhow, we lost the property because they sold it and we were just renting it. We got another place and it was too small. It was a place that the whole thing wouldn't have been any bigger than this platform. I don't believe that's an exaggeration. No, that not been that big. The whole thing wasn't that big. And we would crowd over 100 people in that. Amen. You talk about togetherness. Amen. So we outgrew that. And it was just too small anyhow. You know, in the United States, they say, a rule of thumb, that no church will seat more than, I think it's 3/4 of their capacity. If a church will seat 100 people, when your seating capacity gets to 75 people, it won't consistently grow beyond that. In Latin country, they don't know what stop means. Amen. And so we rented the end of a tobacco warehouse. Big. They put us up a wall to separate us from the tobacco side. And we just, a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, a couple of months, no more than that, we painted it, doubled our benches, hung lights, new lights on the top. Some people come down from the States and work for 5 days, 12 of them, and we worked. And we've made the end of that tobacco warehouse look like a real church building. Hallelujah. Thrill those people to death. But you know what's thrilling to me? Now, we're not a giant, monstrous-sized church in number. When we have 125 or 30 in Sunday school, we're really pleased. Amen. But I want to tell you, most of the people that's in the church that are saved was saved in that church. Almost every one of them. And many are filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, how do they sound when in talking in tongues? Same way they do here. How do they look when they dance in the Holy Ghost? Same way they do here. Same Holy Ghost. Amen. The thing is, before we could get most of them saved, they had to get them married first. Because the majority of the people in Honduras living together with families have never been married. And they may be in the second or third family situation. Amen. So we had to get them married. Not only that, they got some revival going around some other churches. Amen. To where they got under conviction. And they had to start doing something about it too. We hired two guys that was working, coming out on the property. And we got a place out there. The Lord made it possible for us to get some land. And we got a runway because we have a plane, built a hangar. And built us each a house out there. But these two guys that come was our very first guys to come and work. And they told, yes, we go to the church over here, the Pentecostal church. We said, well, praise the Lord, brother. You know, we was going around, Brother Freddie this, and Brother Oscar that, and Brother Freddie this, and Brother... And then we found out those guys weren't even married. So we had to stop. Now, I'm very cautious anymore. They got to prove themselves before I call them brother or sister. I've been bit too many times. And so we told them, say, hey, you guys, you're not saved. Why? Well, the fornicator is going to have his place in the lake of fire. Hey, man, you can't be saved and living with somebody and getting married didn't save them either. They got married and then they got saved. And not only that, but all the deacons and the song leaders and whoever else was in there, because most of them weren't married either. Nobody, I don't think, but the pastor. Just about. And they all got under conviction. At least they got married. Hallelujah. So we got some different things to deal with. But I thank God we had a water baptismal service just a while back. And baptized 10 or 12 people. Don't remember how many now. But I thank God for what He's doing. We've got a school bus. And I'm going to try to wind down here in just a few minutes. We've got a school bus. 22 passenger. We drive that thing. We were about 7 or 8 miles out of town. Mountain curved roads. Shacks and shanties and the worst poverty you've ever seen. That's up and down those roads. So we take this 22 passenger school bus and we pick up kids and some adults and take them into Sunday school every Sunday morning. And we have proved, this is not theory, we have proved that you can get at least 63 people in a 22 passenger bus. But the problem is sometimes keeping these things going. We were down in vehicles to where we had, at one time, all we had was that school bus to drive. And we had to take Brother Allen to the airport, 2 hours away in the capital city, so we did our grocery shopping, came back, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and the low water bridge, it had rained just before we got there, and it was flooded, and there was absolutely no way to get across, and water running about mid-thigh deep, but it was too fast, it would have washed you right off the other side, and it was about a 10 or 12 foot drop off the other side. So there's absolutely no way that we could get across. So we had groceries, so we just had backed up away from the water, got in the grocery boxes, and we had supper. Amen. And by this time, they're getting close to midnight, so we thought we're going to coast down there and look at that water and see if it's gone down enough where we was wanting to go home. And so we got back down there, and it was still right up there where it was. The only thing that was different is there were some guys after the water trying to clear some brush, and on the other side was a pickup parked on our side, the isolated side. And it was two brothers up in their 40s or so, and their dad was in the back of that pickup. And he'd had some kind of a stroke or something. And they're trying to get him into the hospital. And so we told him, said, if you can get him across here, we'll take him in. And so they worked. They got a hold of him. We stand down there watching. And it was just God that they got across that thing. And here they was. And the old fella didn't even know what was going on. And they're carrying him through the water. And they get him over there, bring him in, lay him down in the front seat of the bus, and they get in. And here we all go. We're going back to town now. We're about four or five miles out. Hey, man. And right up on a little road cut out of the side of the mountain. And here we are. We're on our way back. We haven't gone very far at all. And I'm standing up beside Scott. Scott's driving. And this has a special accessory, a special extra pay ventilation that right under the driver's feet, there's a hole about that big around, and that's so you can get air up your pant legs. Really, it's not. It's just a hole. Amen. And so I was standing there talking to Brother Scott, and I looked down there, and through that hole, and there was flames. And I said, we're on fire. Brilliant. We're on fire. Amen. You got that thing breaking. I'll get out, get out. This thing's on fire. Amen. Everybody bailed out of there and was out there and lifted it up and seeing. And there weren't big flames, but here it was burning down there. Amen. And we was trying to figure out what to do. And it dawned on me then, the old man was, amen. We'd all got off the bus and his sons too. We left the old fellow laying in there on the seat of the bus. We had to go back in and get him out. He never knew anything had happened. Amen. And we didn't have any water, didn't have any way to put the fire out. And somebody thought we've got these plastic bottles of Coca-Cola. Amen. There is a good purpose for Coca-Cola. Amen. And so we got these 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola out, popped the tops on, start pouring Coca-Cola down on that fire, and Coca-Cola will put out a fire. Amen. Put that fire out. Glory to God. And there was a guy come up behind anyhow and took the fellow back and took him on into town and rode in the back. And so we were getting down desperate. Then it quit. The school bus quit. And I don't remember exactly how they overlapped and what have you, but we were down to a Datsun pickup. 1-seater, not crew cab, with a little shell camper on the back. And that was our transportation. All the Sumners in that. And seniority didn't count for very much as far as getting to ride in the front. And that's all we had. And we got everything else was broken down. Somebody may remember, we mentioned that we needed a bus or a vehicle, but we didn't say anything about monies, anything, didn't just mention it. We leave the finances to God. God made it possible that we were able to go out and buy a brand new 15-passenger bus, diesel, with air conditioning. Korean made. I didn't care where it was made, really. Hey, man. And you talk about something that's nice to get in and start it up and hold up to 15 people. And you don't have to push it. You don't have to jumper it. You don't have to crawl under it. You don't have to try to get a hold of somebody to come out and pull you in. And just get in it. Turn the key. That's a blessing. Turn the key and drive off. Oh, hallelujah. And not only that, but miracle on top of miracles. A few months later, we had no way. We were down to that driving that old Nissan around. We had it going again, but it wasn't very reliable. And we sometimes go to 5 services in one day, and we drive as much as 1 hour between, well, up to 2 hours between. The first service is 2 hours away. And the next service after that is 30 minutes away, and the next service after that is an hour beyond that. And so we go as many. On one particular day, we have 5 services, and the last one's over around 9 o'clock at night. And it's kind of bad when you don't have anything that's reliable. And so you got to watch Alan. Alan's a tire kicker. He come down and he was telling me about some kind of a van they had over there. So we went over to the dealership and looked at it in the capital city. And then we saw something else over there. And here was one of those crew cab pickup things. Hey, man, that doesn't have any hood on it. You set up over the engine. You got a pickup bed behind it. Holds 6 people. Hey, 4-wheel drive. And we got kicking the tires on that, and within 3 days, less than that, 2 days, we was driving. Amen. Driving it. Somebody said, don't you feel a little bit ashamed? But you're supposed to talk about how you just trudge along. Listen, I don't even mind admitting we've got a washer and a dryer. Amen. You say, my.
That's all right.
Amen. But I want to tell you, how many of your wives have had to do it time and time again, get down in the river and wash the clothes? And how many times have we put a sump pump in a drainage ditch somewhere just to get water, and then we all did washings? And when we're able to get washers and dryers, I'm not about to excuse to make excuses to anybody. I think it is, brother. I think it is. We thank God for what He's doing. There's a lot more that I can tell, but we'll tell it another time. But God's blessing, saving souls. Brother Al and Sister Paula, be back down. I thank God for what they're doing. Really, Brother Allen, with the help of Sister Paula, really the pastor of the church there, and Al Scott's filling in now while they're gone. Amen. And Scott's doing a wonderful job. Scott and Benita are doing a wonderful job there. Amen. But it's not quite the same because the pastor's up here. And so many, they're back there lining up to write letters. The women were to Sister Paula to write notes to her when we was coming up here before we left. So we're so thankful that God is working this thing all out and everybody's going to be home, at least as much home as we got here, before the end of this year is what we're looking at. And we thank God for it. We want to thank you for all of your help. For all your prayers, your concern, you have made a difference. And we thank you for it. We try to use all of our help. We're not investing in chicken farms. We don't have any investment things off that we're put. The money, it goes in the gospel. What we don't wear or eat or buy washers and dryers with. You know what I'm saying? It goes in the gospel. And we thank you for it. I know it serves me a little bit better. I mean, a little bit different. But I'd like to, I just wanted to let you know some of what's going on and how God is blessing. And we thank you for all of your help. I want you to pray for Honduras. Pray especially for Brother Scott and Sister Benita. They're there by themselves. And it's a work that actually takes six of us. Full time. We live there. Take six of us to even operate close to being the way it should be going. And so right now, Brother Scott and Sister Benita are there by themselves. When we get back down in the middle of August, we'll have a lap over of 1 week, and then they'll come up for approximately 2 months. And so remember them. Pray for them. Would you stand with me, please? My heart's full of a lot of things. But just want you to know that we appreciate you and appreciate your help. Will you help me pray for Honduras? Now I'm just going to invite you to find a place to pray. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you tonight asking you, God, for the hand of the Holy Ghost, for the revival fires to burn, God, in the country of Honduras. Lord, we pray for this country. We pray for Kansas City. God, that there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire, the convicting power of your Spirit. God, will touch homes and neighborhoods and areas. Oh, God, families. Husbands and wives, God, that we'll see a mighty increase. Because, Lord, we know the time is drawing close. And this thing surely can't have a whole lot more time. God, help us to have a burden, Lord. I pray, God, for Honduras, for the military, for the police, for the people, God, in the villages. Oh, Lord, for the work there in all parts. God, I ask you to move. To save. God, lead us, guide us, and direct us. God, bless His people, amen, for all of their prayers and all their love and all their concern and all the difference that through your working, by your Spirit, that they've enabled us, oh God, to do there. Help us, oh God. Help us each one, oh Lord, to lift you up and help us to go forth in the name of Jesus, not with your name, but in your power. God, in the testimony of your saving power. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I think it'd be fitting just to have the Sumner family come up front and us gather around them and just lay hands on them and ask God for a greater anointing upon their lives and their ministry. Amen. As they go forth from here and to give them many, many souls. And I hope you've been challenged tonight, have you? To pray for them and continue our support and even increase that if you feel you want to give even extra tonight. You feel free to do that. And I know the Lord will bless you. Amen. Brother and Sister Sumner, Brother Allen, your family, would you come and stand up here in the front and we'll gather around you. Come on, church, let's pray. Let's believe the Lord to touch them. Hallelujah.